Hi, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, the marketing coordinator at Unique Training and Development. And again, I'm with Kirk Langford, our general manager at Unique Training and Development and Frontline Leadership Systems, USA. Hi, Kirk. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Suzanne?
Good. So I prepared for this Leader Feeder today.
Ooh, okay, cool.
I went to yoga. I'm all, you know, limber.
Okay,
so today we're talking
good.
About enhancing flexibility in the workforce.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, I'm glad you are nice and limber. However, if I may, when we talk about enhancing workforce flexibility, we're not actually talking about yoga and actual flexibility, although that's a good thing. I mean, fewer injuries.
Oh, see, I thought we were all out on the production floor, you know, doing our stretches.
Yeah, no. Turn off the machine, just
stretch it out. Absolutely.
Yeah, no Jane Fonda workouts or anything like that. No, none of that.
So tell me what is... workforce flexibility.
Yeah. So when we're talking about workforce flexibility, especially in production or in manufacturing, what we're talking about is sort of your team's ability and really the organization's ability to be flexible in terms of who can do which jobs, how quickly they can pivot. You know, one example might be if a machine goes down, how quickly can the workforce pivot to either getting that machine up and running or finding an alternative resolution to that problem to ensure that, you know, production continues. It's also within a team, how many people can do different tasks? So if you're off one day, whether it's because you're sick or you're on vacation, does that hold us up? Does that create a bottleneck? Or do we have a good workforce flexibility so that someone else on the team can step in during the time that you're away?
Would you consider this like cross-training? Is this what we're kind of talking about here?
Yeah. Well, cross-training leads to a more flexible workforce, right?
Okay.
You can also think of it as some people consider it bench strength, right? The idea of bench strength, sort of how...
We're back at the gym.
Yeah, that's right. But who on your team can do what, right?
Yep.
So the more people on your bench that can do more things, the better. Because then I'm not sitting there going, oh, Suzanne is gone. She's the only one that can take care of that. What do I do now? Instead, it's like, oh, Suzanne, yeah, she is the primary person that does that, or maybe the person who does that usually. It's not a big deal if she's away, because I know Simon and Darren and Niall can do it as well. So we have lots of options, and that's what we're talking about when we want better workplace flexibility, or pardon me, workforce flexibility.
Yeah, so it sounds like you listed off some pretty important like reasons right there as to why you would want your team to be flexible within production. Leading up to that, what are some benefits? I mean, obviously you did just say like a benefit would be other people know, you know, how to do different jobs.
Yeah.
But is there something more specific about these leaders knowing different positions that would benefit?
Yeah, I mean, one is just variety. In manufacturing settings and production settings, one of the potential, I guess, negative sides is that it can be repetitive and it can be maybe not as stimulating as we'd like it to be. So if I'm tasking you with just one task and it's relatively sort of closed in and straightforward, in one way you go, oh, that's fantastic. I only have to worry about this one thing or I only have to learn to do this one thing this one way.
And then I imagine they would get really good at that, though.
They probably do,
right?
Yeah. Generally, they do. But then you do it for an 8-hour shift. And at the end of an 8 or a 10 or a 12-hour shift, you kind of go, I would love a bit of variety. Because despite you know, repetition being good for us to get good at something, we do tend to like variety. We tend to like change, right? Well, maybe not like change, but we tend to like a little bit of flexibility. And so if I train you on this machine, but then I also train you on that machine, if after 6 hours you're going, okay, I need to do something different, if you only know how to use that one machine, it's pretty hard for me to give you something else to do, right? But if I can rotate you to different stations, you get flexibility, you get variety during your shift, and you might leave feeling a little bit less, oh, I just did the same thing for 8 hours.
Right.
And so it provides a more engaging experience, right? And a more varied experience for the people on the team and in the organization, which is important.
Yeah, a bit more engaging. So you're not doing the same job day in and day out
right.
you know, 20 years or I guess however long you want to be at that company
for. I mean, another benefit is that you're probably less likely to have some injuries, because we know that doing repetitive motions for a long time can potentially cause injuries. I'm not a health and safety expert, but we know that generally speaking, you want to have some variety. And that's even why in more corporate settings, we see now, for example, more standing desks, and we see you being told to take breaks from your desk and go for a walk or stretch a little bit, because we know doing the same repetitive motion for hours and hours on end can result in injury.
Right.
Whereas if you're rotated, to a different machine every couple of hours or something, or a different station every couple of hours, there's less likelihood that you're going to get that injury that's related to, repetitive strain.
Right. Okay? Yeah. So what what kind of strategies, I guess, would management be able to put into place to
create a more flexible
workforce? To create a more flexible workforce, right? Yeah, thanks. I knew what I wanted to say. It just kind of stopped there for a hot second. Yeah.
Well, so one thing you want to think about is you kind of look at it as a two-step plan, I would say. And the first step is assessing your current, whether it's fully at an organizational level, but probably we're talking about maybe a leader, all right, looking at their team. So the leader's looking at their team, and the first thing they want to figure out is who can do what. Right? Do I have only one or two people on my team that have been cross-trained on different tasks at this point? Or is everybody already pretty well-versed in different things? You got to know what your starting point is. And so you might do a bit of an assessment, and it can be as simple as a simple chart, right? You can write down everybody's name, and you can write down the various tasks or stations that are applicable to your department or to your work group. And you're basically saying, okay, who can do what? And you put a check mark. Simon can do X, Y, Z. Suzanne can do A, B, C. You know, and Charles can do X, B, and C. And then you start to figure out, okay, so I've got a couple people that maybe aren't as flexible or versatile as I'd like them to be. I've got a few people that I don't need to worry about as much. And you start to develop the plan. So that helps us decide, okay, Charlie is maybe one of our newer members. So far, he's only been trained on stations A and B. I think he's someone that we want to invest time and energy into, you know, increasing the breadth of what he can do. So then we might train him on stations X, Y, Z as well. And so that's what it starts with. Basically assess where your team is currently in terms of their abilities, the skills or stations or tasks that they're able to do. And then where do you want to go, right? So, you know, do you want everybody on your team to be able to do every task, to be able to work at every station? Is it more that you've identified a bottleneck where you've gone, oh, when Suzanne went on vacation last week, that completely slowed us down because we hadn't thought about it, but Suzanne's the only one who has, you know, the level of women's training that we need in order for her to be able to operate that piece of equipment or use that particular chemical, for example. And so instead it's, okay, well, if we want to avoid that bottleneck in the future, we need more people to be able to do that task that currently only Suzanne is doing. So then that helps you figure out who do we train on what. And then that's it, basically. Identify or assess where you're currently at in terms of your bench strength of your team. And then the second piece is figure out then how you're going to train them and who you're going to train on what.
Going to train, how you're going to train them. You know, you get into all kinds of other fun scenarios. Well, that's great. I mean, when you break it down like that, that doesn't seem too challenging, actually. You know, just breaking it down into charts and seeing who, and then you can easily apply the training where it needs to go to create a more flexible work environment, right?
It can seem like a challenge because I think anytime we're introducing training, it can be seen as over and above what everybody's already expected or required to do, right? So you've already got your 40 hours a week that keep you busy. And now the leader has to try to find time to figure out a training plan and sort of assess their team's training ability. So there's a challenge there. And then we also have to get the employees to find time to do this training. So it can seem really difficult, but it's sort of what I might call short-term pain for long-term gain. Right? Because in the short term, yes, we might be a little bit busier, or maybe more overwhelmed than we would normally be because we're trying to learn, you know, these new tasks or processes. But in the long term, now we have that flexibility on our team. We have that bench strength that helps us go, okay, next time Suzanne needs to be away, whether it's for vacation or whether because she's not feeling well or something, we don't have that bottleneck that we had last time. So yes, short term pain, potentially a little bit, but with a long term gain in mind.
Okay, great. Thanks. So now that we've implemented this flexibility training program, you've identified who needs the training, how do you schedule this and keep it moving?
Yeah, it's a really practical question because you want to make sure that one of the things you don't want to do is train somebody on something and then not actually let them practice, right? If I train you on something and then you don't get to do it or try it for 6 or 8 months, or sometimes even 6 or 8 weeks, it's really hard to solidify those skills to become proficient at that additional task. And so I think rotation is a really important piece. So for example, maybe we have 6 stations, okay, in our workspace or in our department, and you've got 6 staff. Even though it might be easy to say, well, you know, Suzanne, you're normally on station A, that's your preferred station, I'm just going to keep you there, and we'll only move someone else into there when you're away or, you know, when you're unavailable. The pitfall we would fall into in that case is then nobody else ever gets to try that station until the unfortunate event that you're not there. right? And mm-hmm. so it's better to say, hey, I know that's your preferred station, but we are still going to do regular rotation of all the different tasks or all mm-hmm. the different stations to make sure that at the end of the day, everybody stays fresh right. and kind of updated on what the task looks like and how to do it, and that they get a chance to practice it regularly.
So would you use that same chart? Now, you spoke earlier about creating a chart to see what Charlie was good at and Rebecca was good at. After you got this going for, I don't know, maybe a month, and you got everybody kind of trained up, would you continue to go down that path like every 6 months? Would you create another chart? Would you do it all over again?
I think you're, it's funny, I don't really think you're doing it all over again as much as you're always doing it, because we know that teams shift and change. We know that people move on to other opportunities, whether it's a different organization, whether it's a promotion, things happen, people's life changes, and that causes shifts. So the reality is that, in all honesty, I'd almost have a perpetual chart where I've always got my team members, and I've always got the different tasks that need to be done, and I've always got who can do what.
Right.
Because the other thing is, you know, you mentioned a month. Well, the reality is that if you've got a team that currently is not very well cross-trained, you don't have a lot of flexibility, that might not be a month. That might be 6 months of continued training. And because I'm not just going to say, okay, and the next week you've got to now learn station A, B, and C. That's a lot to expect, depending on the complexity of the station and the machinery and the equipment.
Of course.
So it might be more realistic to say, I'm going to start you on station A. Mm-hmm. Once you're competent in working on that one, I'm going to move you to B, but I'm going to keep rotating you to the ones you were doing before as well.
Because this, like we oddly said, sounds familiar with my own training.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what do you know?
This is starting to sound familiar. Yeah.
That's right. And so it's more of an ongoing list, as it were, or a chart, whatever you want to call it. You know, one of the, I guess, benefits or interesting things about this is that when you implement something like this, not only does it benefit the organization, not only does it even benefit the leader and the team as a whole, but it even benefits the individual employees or folks on your team, right? Because they're getting cross-trained, they're getting to know other tasks, you know, like we mentioned, they might avoid more injuries and stuff, but actually they're learning more skills. Yeah. And when they're learning more skills, they become more valuable, not only on their team, but they become more valuable to the organization. So maybe they might be more
motivated,
more engaged, but also, for example, more ready for like a promotion, right? Because in order to be the leader of a team, it can be really helpful, not necessary, but it can be helpful to have a really good sense of all the different tasks on the team. Where if I get promoted to the leader because I was really good technically on one machine, that might not really make me very good as a leader of the team, because I don't really have an understanding of the whole team and the different tasks. But if I'm well trained on each of the different tasks, and I kind of understand the stations, I understand the maybe the frustrations of each one, but also the benefits, I understand the role of each station in the bigger picture in terms of creating our product, then if I end up getting promoted to be the leader of that team, I probably have a very well-rounded idea of what has to go on that team. So an added benefit is that when it comes time to promote someone and you need a new leader, if you've got a more well-rounded, flexible team, that leader's probably going to be a better leader, to be honest.
Right.
So that's an added benefit of having that flexibility and that bench strength.
That sounds what everyone's kind of going for,
right? And now that I think about it, if I could add on,
you
know, if you had that leader that, you know, in your more traditional model where you don't have a lot of flexibility, if you take the person that always handled station A and you promote them, who do you fill in for station A? Who's going to take care of it now? You've got to bring someone else in. That person's brand new. They don't know anything about it. That can cause a lot of disruption. And we want to avoid that when we can. We want there to be smoother transitions, because that helps
makes
us prevent
sense.
Downtime, injuries, mistakes, and provides consistency. But if we promote the person that maybe generally did station A, but they were trained on all the other tasks, and a lot of other people on the team also could step in and fill in for station A or work on station A, there's almost no disruption.
Right.
So we can really quickly pivot to whatever changes come our way when we have more flexibility. So if we have to reduce our team, when we want to grow our team, a new piece of equipment comes in, a new product is being made on the line, we can adapt much more quickly the more flexible our team is.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
When we're talking about metrics, I guess what comes to mind, because we're talking about, and I keep going back to this chart, and maybe I'm too focused on like this chart and how, you know, and where to pinpoint everybody at.
Yeah.
To me, that's, is that the only sense of metric or the only metric that you would use to figure this out? Are there other
I think a metric or something you could think about if you're looking at how benefit. I think what you're asking is sort of how do you measure the benefit of a flexible team, right?
Yeah,
How do we know whether that increased bench strength actually makes an impact or has value?
Absolutely.
Right? Well, here's what I think. I think you'd have to look at, for example, last time Suzanne was off sick for a couple days, mm-hmm. we had to completely halt production on that line because we realized Suzanne's the only one that can manage that. So what do we do when she's gone? So we had to wait for her to come back. She had a backlog to work out. It caused her stress. It caused the team stress because they got backed up. So when we have a team that's more flexible, for example, one of the first things we can measure is simply, did production continue? And in almost any organization, if we can continue production and we don't have that downtime that we might have mm-hmm. when that sort of specialist or that person that only handles one piece of the puzzle is gone, right? If we can avoid that, already we're going to see a good ROI on taking the time to do that training. So that's just one example of the value or of the impact of increasing your bench strength. But like I said, another example is if someone does leave the team, whether it's for promotion or whether it's they leave the organization, how much stress and anguish does that change cause?
Does the team go
on
through?
A team where it's very siloed, you're going to find that they're less flexible and less able to adapt to that change. So more flexible teams, less downtime, less disruption.
Right. Well, thanks, Kirk. I don't want to say my yoga class was for naught, but thanks for talking about flexibility in the workforce and what that means.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, and I guess I should go do some downward dog or something now because I'm not as limber as you are. So thank you. This is fun.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Bye.